From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of May 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Ben Pruce of the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility will be here to look at the cash grain market. We'll take up the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey. Dave Dickey will have a quick look at what's been happening in the Kansas part of the wheat tour. And I'll bring you up to date on what's been going on in the Nebraska part of the hard red winter wheat tour as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
In Chicago for this Friday afternoon, this is the way the numbers finished up. The nearby contract for the May soft red winter wheat at $7.07¾, up 9. July at $7.16, a settlement price up 8¾. The hard red July at $8.21¾, 17¾ higher. In the corn pit, nearby May contract at $4.94, down 9¼. July at $4.99½, 7½ lower. And September at $4.96¼, down 6¼. December corn at $4.94, down 5½ cents, and May of next year at $5.08¼, down 5½ as well. May beans at $14.80¾, up 7¼. July at $14.70¾, 9¾ higher. August soybeans at $14.07, up 7¼, and September at $12.81½, a quarter of a cent higher. November beans of next year at $12.22½, that's the harvest month at 3 cents lower, and January futures at 12.28, down 3 cents in 2015. Bean meal at 4.91.20, up 4.50, and the bean oil at 41.29, 37 cents higher. Live cattle futures at the CME in the June at $138 and a nickel, down $1.20. May feeders at 183.50, down 45 cents, and lean hogs finished the June contract at 122.22½. Down 57½ cents. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. If you can, stay with us right here on our home radio station. Immediately following this program, Commodity Week, other stations carry it on Saturday morning. Our panelists this week include Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana, Elaine Cobb from Mastering the Grain Markets in Elkhorn, Nebraska. She's actually traveling in Brazil this week. And Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. You can find it, too, online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $99.81 a barrel, up 39 cents. The wholesale price of gasoline at $2.94.06. That's 7⅛ of a cent higher, and ethanol futures at $2.13, 4 cents lower for the day. Natural gas at $4.67¾, down 4⅓, and diesel fuel at $2.92¾, that finished 9 tenths of a cent higher, and the gold futures on the day at $1,302.90, up $19.50. The U.S. dollar at 79.51 is down 0.01 on the afternoon. Let's check and see what's been happening with the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service in Urbana-Champaign for the afternoon. We have 52 degrees outside at the moment, and that's supposed to be our high today. It's overcast, mostly cloudy. Tonight we'll go to a 45-degree low and a southwest wind at 8 to 11 miles an hour, and the winds, they'll gust to 15. And tomorrow, sunny skies with a high near 69 degrees, partly cloudy on Saturday evening with a low of 47. On Sunday, sunny skies and 67. Sunday night, mostly cloudy and 46. Monday, partly sunny skies and 70 degrees and partly cloudy on Monday evening with a 51-degree low. Tuesday, sunny skies and 74. Tuesday night, cloudy and 57. And Wednesday, sunny skies and 79. Wednesday night, 61 degrees and partly cloudy skies. And that's a look at the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area. When we get to the bottom of the half hour, we'll hear what happened last week, how it works climatologically in the state of Illinois, and what farmers can expect for the coming week. That'll come from Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute right here in Urbana-Champaign.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line with us for this Friday afternoon to take a look at the futures markets is Mike Zuzlo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, gray skies and 52 degrees here. We'd like you to be a little bit sunnier and a lot warmer. How's it there?
Just turned nicer. We've had about a week of pretty blah weather. Same thing, 40s, 50s, spitting rain. And today, first sunny day, and we're going to probably get close to 65. That extremely hot weather that's on our doorstep that's going to be hitting the hard red wheat belt this weekend looks to be in play, because we have definitely seen a change and we're getting away from the northwest flows now. We're getting a lot better southerly flow. I think we're going to be close to 90 by Sunday when the folks out there in Salina, Kansas and Hutchinson, Kansas are hitting 96, 97 degrees.
This is one of those times where it's hot, but it's a dry heat doesn't work really well for you because you really need the moisture, I think, in your area, don't you?
Yeah, we still do now. We did get a real nice rain. I think the producers will really start to pick up a lot of their pace this weekend. I'm going to be taking some drives this weekend, Todd, to see. We did get some done on some of the terracing that didn't get as much rain. But, yeah, I think we're in pretty ideal conditions now. Once we warm up, we'll probably get a lot planted.
That would be for the corn and the soybean crop there. But for the hard red winter wheat crop, remains in ugly condition.
Yeah, you know, we're probably still about 2 to 3 hours east of the hard red crop. But what I'm picking up from clients and contacts and what was talked about on that hard red wheat tour is that that 260 million bushel estimate that came out of the tour could be half if we don't get rains that are needed pretty much right now. And then, you know, they pretty much made that clear when they did their estimates that they were, you know, looking at fields that should make 33, 35 bushels. But if hot, dry weather hits, they talked about that being a third and maybe even a half of that. So this is one of those years where technically today on a weekly close, you lost some key moving averages. The 40-day moving average in Dease corn, we went below for the first time since February 3rd. And we lost our 20-day moving average as well in the Dow Jones UBS Grain Index. So I put an email out to the clients right after the close. Let's do another 10% hedge on both corn and beans for 2014. But let's stick with paper because of what's going on in the Ukraine and what you and I have been just talking about with the hard red wheat. This could be another 1996-type market because that's the lowest production number we've seen since 1996 for the hard red wheat on that tour.
It is a very low number. On the monthly charts, the hard red winter wheat, I think, was up, what, 47 and a quarter cents. So it charged sharply higher. And then on our weekly, which would include the end of the month, so this you don't just add this on, it's just a different one, but July hard red was up 42 and a quarter. So it has been reacting.
Yeah, and that's compared to only 7 or 7.5 cents higher in the soft red wheat. And Dease corn got hit the hardest, down 12 and 3 quarters on the week. That's 2.5% lower. You can see where the micro fundamentals really played a role in this trade, especially once we got to midweek. And I think once the weather started to open up temperature-wise for your part of the country, the trade started talking about, again, really big corn acres, really big yield. And so we saw the hard red, soft red spread really kick in. We talked about that on Commodity Week last week. We saw the wheat corn spread kick in really nicely yesterday and today. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean it's bearish for the corn. In fact, in that same email, I wrote to clients, look, we've got a crop report next Friday. I want to keep the hedges on through next Friday's report, but this could be the May break in the corn that really is kind of a dip buying opportunity for the feed hedgers in the livestock sector. And I say that because wheat tends to lead that corn. And if we make a low in the wheat like we have, you tend to make a low 20 to 30 days afterwards in the corn. I would see the same thing when it comes to the highs, when, you know, coming down the road here. Once we make that hard red high, we make a soft red high, 20 or 30 days later, we get a corn high in place, not unlike what we saw in 2011.
And what are your expectations for USDA next week? That WASD number will be the first time USDA officially will drop out some figures for the 2014 or the harvested crop coming this fall.
I would be surprised if they don't kick up the corn acreage a little bit now that we'll probably be back on track. As of Friday of next week, you know, we probably won't see getting caught quite all the way up on Monday's report, but if we have a wide open weather pattern on Friday of this next week and we get the report out, I would think they'd have to inch up the planted acres for corn a little bit, because certainly anecdotally producers in your area and on east, except for Ohio, And as you get even into Iowa now, you're starting to hear a lot more good news coming out of the corn planting and a lot of excitement about getting more corn acres in.
Do you think they will really put that many more acres of corn in? Because they didn't really change very much in our part of the world.
No, they didn't. But I think nationally, when you look at that prevent plant number and you look at the fact that we had some extra CRP acres, I still think there's probably 2.5 million acres that could pretty easily be pushed into the corn number. I guess I feel like the bean number is about as high as we can get it, especially with the idea that the people out in the hard red wheat country are suggesting right now that if they don't get the rain, they're not going to tear up the wheat and try and plant sorghum or some oil seed like soybeans. They're just going to leave it be. They're not even going to try and plant anything because they just cause a lot more erosion. And I think this is where it's going to be hard to see more double crop beans at this stage of the game coming from someplace.
What were the primary fundamental factors for the soybean market for the week?
I think we started off with the excitement or the fear of the bullish potential in May meal because we're going to delivery on Wednesday, and we had meal $50 to $60 over a ton in the cash market in the interior versus what the Chicago May futures was. So I think the market was very excited about potentially bullish meal breakout on first notice day on Wednesday, and we had investment flows coming in, and that all came abruptly to a halt when we turned the calendar to May. And so then I think we went back to trading more of the supply side fundamentals. Argentina's government jumped their production by 1 million tons for soybeans this week. No one really dialed that in until we got to Thursday. So I think we went from the demand side fundamentals of meal back to the supply side fundamentals of soybeans by the time we got to the end of the week.
Hey, let me turn your attention to the livestock numbers. Feeder cattle for the week in the May contract, they gapped higher, up $3.50 on the weekly trade, finished at $183.50. That's a big number.
Yeah, it is. We talked about this on Commodity Week. You know, Ellen had made the point of another move up in the cattle, and I think that's exactly right, but I'm nervous that this is the place to start selling, and I'm really extra nervous that the wholesale market seemed to really weaken. The box beef prices seemed to weaken. I think this may be one of the last opportunities for a strong move up in the cattle, mainly because, again, instead of looking at supply tightness, the trade may start to look at consumption and demand weakness. And I'm a little bit nervous about grilling season. I'm very nervous about livestock producers having to fight weakening wholesale prices and rising grain prices. So I want to get that hedge on the grain in place before the end of the month.
You don't think we'd come out and gap lower next week and stay there, do you?
I don't think that would be likely, Todd, but I think you got to go back to the Russian-Ukrainian situation. It could be friendly for the feed grains and negative for the pork and for the beef because it could really screw up our meat trade, and it could really keep a big percentage of corn stocked in there in the Black Sea. I mean, what I've told clients today is you could see Ukrainian corn being planted today, but by pollination, it's Russian corn. That's really what we're talking about here, and you don't want to get caught up in that if the market's not bullish the demand side, especially given gasoline prices and the retail price of meat right now. At least get one side of your hedge locked in.
Well, hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again next Friday.
My pleasure. You all do a great job there. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. That is Mike Zuzalo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas, joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media. Stay with us if you can on this Friday afternoon in the second half hour of our program. We call that one Commodity Week. It airs on many radio stations tomorrow morning here on the home station in the afternoon. Immediately following the Closing Market Report, we'll talk with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises, along with Elaine Cub of Mastering the Grain Markets and Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing. Of course, you can find it up on the website. Should be posted there by about 4 o'clock this afternoon at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
The Kansas Hard Red Winter Wheat Tour produced an estimated average yield of 33.2 bushels per acre, the lowest since 2001. The tour's Kansas production estimate is 260.7 million bushels. That would be the lowest level since 1996. This year's wheat crop is suffering through the combined effects of a four-year drought and a brutally cold winter that dipped into sub-zero temperatures several times. Scouts found a crop delayed by 2 weeks, struggling with limited soil moisture and, in many cases, headed out early while still very short. Tour experts said the final yield estimate of 33.2 BPA is most likely a best-case scenario for many wheat fields, and it is essential that rain arrives soon to meet that potential. U.S. environmental authorities signaled they may approve a new herbicide developed by Dow Chemical Company, potentially broadening farmers' weaponry against superweeds that have extracted a toll on crops. The EPA proposed to register Dow's Enlist dual herbicide, which includes a new formulation of the chemical 2,4-D. The EPA will take comments on the proposal over the next 30 days and evaluate them before issuing a final decision. University of Nebraska agronomists have released results from a three-year study that show 1 3/4 inches is now the optimal depth for planting soybeans, regardless of soy conditions, planting date, population, or tillage system. Agronomists say that deeper planting depth offers more stable moisture and temperature conditions for the seed than the shallower planting depths. Producers and agronomists have long used 1 1/2 inch as the average planting depth for soybeans. Chinese manufacturing grew weakly in April. The state-sanctioned China Federation of Logistics and Purchasing said its monthly purchasing managers' index stood at 50.4 points on a 100-point scale, on which numbers above 50 show activity expanding. That was up marginally from March's 50.3 points. Kellogg says its first quarter revenue dropped as the company continued to face sluggish cereal sales. Kellogg says sales for its U.S. breakfast division declined 5.5%. For the quarter, Kellogg Company said revenue fell 3% to $3.74 billion that missed Wall Street's estimate of $3.81 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program comes up on our home station immediately following this program at 2:30, 6 p.m. on Friday afternoon. Stay with us if you can. Our guests this week include Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. And from Elkhorn, Nebraska, but traveling in Brazil this week, we'll talk with Mastering the Grain Markets, Elaine Cubb. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's happened in agricultural markets. Well, up next, you know, we've heard a lot about the wheat conditions in Kansas on the recent wheat tour, but how about the Nebraska wheat crop? Western Nebraska crop specialist for the University of Nebraska Extension, Bob Klein, says while it does look good, it's not without its problems.
One of the things that have us a big concern on it, though, is that a lot of it doesn't have a lot of subsoil moisture under it, and that's probably one of our biggest concern. It does look good from the field, but if we go out and sample the soil moisture or soil water under it, a lot of those fields, I'm afraid, when it warms up here real good, will start to show moisture stress.
As far as yields, Klein says there are some good fields with plenty of moisture, but he doesn't expect a tremendous crop. The wheat is in need of more subsoil moisture, but should be able to get by to grain fill. Klein says warmer temperatures can be a limiting factor during the filling time frame.
One of the big things that really determines the yield on winter wheat is what happens during the filling period. And we always say anything over about 85 degrees hastens the filling period and really reduces yield. So We need that long filling period, those cooler temperatures, to really get those good wheat yields.
Now, Klein says the wheat is behind this year, so the Nebraska wheat could be filling during warmer temperatures. Our audio today from the Nebraska side of the winter wheat crop was provided by Joe Gangwish of KRVN, an NAFB farm broadcaster in Lexington, Nebraska.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, the Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. We're located here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On the phone line with us and located in Everly, Iowa, at the Anderson's facility now to take up the cash grain market is Ben Pruess. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Yeah, good afternoon, John.
Well, farmers able to move, wanting to move, too cold to move. What's happening in your area?
We actually had about 4 days of just a soft and steady rain. And, we didn't get a whole lot of rain, maybe half an inch to inch and a half in some places, depending where you're at. But it went straight into the ground. There isn't a standing puddle anywhere. And guys, honestly, it's the wind and sunshine today. Come late tomorrow afternoon, probably back in the fields planting corn.
Your expectations for how many days they'll get to be in the field then?
Looking at the forecast, I mean, it looks like the 10 days should be pretty clear. We might got a slight chance in the middle of the week, but these guys should be able to be up and running. And, if the weather stays clear by Friday here in northwest Iowa,
you'll be done.
We'll be done. Absolutely.
It takes about 6 days for each crop. So
we are well over half planted here in northwest Iowa.
You'll be done with corn. How far along would you be with beans? Will they start?
I think some will start to dabble. It is very there's a few outliers, but they're pretty rigid. It get the corn in first, and then most just clean planters, switch planters, and just roll right into beans.
All right. Old crop corn. Tell me about the basis and what's been happening.
Old crop corn, obviously just rolled to the July. Just kind of just really not too much happening. Just kind of rolled that even money. The processor's trying to scab a few cents off there, back it up a little bit. But, honestly, it's just really stayed kind of flat. The basis at the processors we thought was kind of ticking in there, and it has firmed up a little bit, but it's kind of just been steady here this whole week. So,
how far under July are you?
We're 35 under the July, and most processors are about 20 under the July.
So you're what, about 465 then?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yep. And for soybeans?
Soybeans really stayed kind of flat. The basis at the processor has kind of ticked in here maybe about 10 cents in a week or so, but, they aren't calling, breaking up the phones either. So, we're 40 under the July here today, and just kind of waiting to see what happens.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Ben Pruess of the Andersons, back in 2 minutes.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's National Truffles Day. Truffles were known by the ancient Samaritans, Greeks, and Romans, who served black and white truffles as appetizers and in salads. The earliest known surviving documents mentioning truffles in cooking are in 2 9th century manuscripts. By the way, a 3-pound truffle sold in 2007 for $330,000. It was unearthed near Pisa, Italy. On this day in agricultural history in 1883, S.G. Roberts, a member of the Dakota Territorial Council, convinced his fellow representatives to draft and pass a bill that would allow the northern portion of Dakota Territory to create an agricultural college. Today, it is known as North Dakota State University. In 1885, Good Housekeeping Magazine began publication. Founded by Clark W. Bryan, the magazine was eventually purchased by Hearst Publishing in 1911. The magazine was a leader in advocating for the 1906 Pure Food and Drug Act, which provided federal inspection of meat products and established labeling requirements on a number of drugs. The Meat Inspection Act authorized the Secretary of Agriculture to inspect and condemn any meat product found unfit for human consumption. By the way, the act was partly in response to Uptown Sinclair's The Jungle, a look at the Chicago meatpacking industry. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Now, here's state climatologist from the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute, Jim Angel.
April was cooler and wetter than average. The statewide temperature for April was 51.9 degrees. That's 0.7 degrees below average and the sixth month in a row to be cooler than average. The statewide average precipitation for April in Illinois was 5.1 inches, and that's 1.3 inches above average. In fact, this is the wettest month for Illinois since June of 2013. While southern Illinois received the most rain, some parts of north-central Illinois were slightly below average. Soil temperatures at the 4-inch level range from the upper 40s in far northern Illinois to the 50s across the rest of the state and even into the low 60s in far southern Illinois. Soil moisture looks good around the state, but there are some concerns about the subsoil moisture, especially in western Illinois. The National Weather Service forecasts indicate that highs on Saturday across Illinois will range from the mid-60s in the north to the mid-70s in the south. On Sunday and Monday, the highs will range from the upper 50s in the north to the low 80s in the south. From Tuesday through Thursday, the highs will be in the 70s in the north and in the 80s in the south. Overnight lows during this time should be in the 40s and 50s with very little chance of frost. Very little precipitation is expected in the coming week. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
More numbers from the CME Group in Chicago. Nearby May corn this week had a high of $5.16, the low at $4.92. The settlement price down 13 cents from the previous Friday's close at $4.94. The May on the monthly finished 12 cents higher, by the way, for the month of April. December contract was up 11 cents in April. It settled 12 and a quarter cents lower this week at $4.94. Soybeans in the May contract, $15.73 for the high, the low at $14.65, a settlement price at $14.80 on the weekly trade, down 7 1/4 cents. The monthly trade up 66 3/4 in the lead option beans. The harvest month, November, $12.22.5, finished 17 1/4 lower on the weekly, but up 59 1/2 cents for the month of April. May bean meal at $4.91.20 was up 60. May bean oil at $41.29 on the week, down $1.63. Soft red winter wheat, $7.16 for the high for the week, or settlement for the week, up 7 3/4. It was up 20 cents on the monthly chart. And the hard red at $8.21 3/4 finished 42 1/4 cents higher. June live cattle at $138.05 finished $1.27.5 higher than last Friday. The May feeders gapped higher for the week, finishing at $183.50, up $3.50. and the June lean hogs on the week down $2.30 at $122.22. And that's a look at the weekly trade at the CME Group in Chicago. This, of course, is Illinois Public Media.